Welcome back, everybody. It's Austin, and this is another episode for you guys, and it's just me this week. I'm hanging out. Got a couple of things I wanted to talk about, a couple of things that I thought were pertinent and just worth coming out of, like, personal discussions, personal experiences that was worth talking about, worth sharing my thoughts, feelings, opinions, and, you know, whatever words you can muster that would also check those boxes. I'm sitting here. I just got back from the gym, set a new PR for squatting. So I'm actually at 200 on the bar. So whatever the bar is, which I think is like 15 or 20 pounds plus 200, which isn't, I understand it's not like a lot. It's not super impressive. But I did it five times, four sets of five. So I could probably do more if I was just trying to do like two reps, you know, but, just got back from the gym. I am a sweaty, stinky mess, but, you know, the thing about the gym is it allows you to kind of be with your thoughts and things and collect some ideas. So I thought it was a good opportunity to, you know, I just want to like sit down. I want to get this shit off my chest before, you know, I have too long, you know, too many other things that come in and fill the voids of my mind. And I forget some of the stuff that I want to talk about. So, before I get into it, I want to say thank you to you guys for your support here, for checking us out, for listening to us. Also, if you're a Patreon patron, thank you so much for your support. And if you're not a Patreon patron, guys, go check out the site, man. Like, we're dropping videos on there on a fairly regular basis right now. We're talking a little bit of CQB stuff, like high-level fundamentals. We're talking gear, some blog posts on there, some exclusive episode content, targets you can download, drills, all kinds of good stuff, access to the team here, like just really good things going on over at the Patreon. And every bit of that comes back to support us here at Prepared Mindset. So appreciate you guys. We also have a Spreadshirt shop you can access through our link tree if you want to buy some swag. We got t-shirts and hats. You want to be styling for that next firearms class that you're going to and everything. You can support us. A little bit of each one of those purchases comes back to support us as well. Not a lot. We mostly did it just to, you know, kind of leave it out there and have some options available so that you guys could pick up some merch if you wanted to support the mindset, so to speak. And also we have some, in addition to that, I should say, we have some really, really great companies that we work with. Before I get to them very quickly here, I do just want to say, if you're listening right now, go ahead, pause this recording, go smash that follow button. If you guys are listening to this on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any of your other podcast platforms, go smash that follow button. If you guys listen to us on the regular, that number helps us with so many things. I cannot even express to you how cool it is when we see that number go up. So if you guys like what we're doing, if you appreciate and enjoy the content, hit the follow button and help us out. But in addition to that, I want to say thank you to our supporting sponsors here at Prepared Mindset, and going to start with, as always, the folks at Custom Night Vision, you guys. Night vision is, it's awesome. Honestly, it's not as unattainable as it once was, and there's way more options than there used to be. So if you're looking for a single tube device like a PVS-14, which is where a lot of people start, and for most folks, that's actually where they live. They don't ever see a need to go into dual tubes. They have a lot of fun with the 14. It's a super, super functional unit. Even though it covers one eye, it is incredible, you guys. I ran a 14 for almost a year before I got into my set of duals from Custom Night Vision. They have single tube options like the PVS-14, or if you want something a little bit lighter or something you can build off of, they have the Tonto housing available from Nocturne. So the Tonto can actually be paired with the Daisho bridge that Nocturne makes. You can get two Tontos and the bridge, and you can make a pair of binos that you can then split apart. You can give yourself one and your buddy one or your wife or whomever, right? And then you either have two single tubes or you have a single pair of dual tubes. And this is all in stock at customnightvision.com. If you guys have questions about this stuff, not to fear, there is an insight chat function, so you can reach out to Ben or Kevin or one of the guys over at Custom. You have questions, they're there to give you the most transparent buying experience that they can possibly provide. And honestly, as a customer of Custom, that's how I got to know them. That's how I came across them when I bought my D-Ball, my Steiner D-Ball laser unit. They are outstanding. They're very, very communicative and responsive. Awesome customer service, you guys. You won't be disappointed at all. Whether you're picking up some DTNVSs or RNVGs, you know, some fresh new night vision, or you're picking up a laser unit like a Steiner D-Ball or a B.E. Myers Maul, or maybe you're looking for a helmet. They stock Team Wendy helmets. They have the Wilcox G24 mounting solution. So if you guys need any piece, any one part of a complete night vision setup, whether it be the actual night vision unit itself, the laser, the optics, the helmet, the mounting system, whatever the case may be, if you need lights, they stock all of that and a whole hell of a lot more. You guys, it's customnightvision.com. Check it out for yourselves and pick up some gear. Also want to say a very big thank you to HRT Tactical Gear. Guys, I actually just helped a friend last night sit down, put together his plate carrier, put together his arc belt from HRT Tactical Gear. You guys, the arc belt's outstanding. It really, I cannot even express how much I enjoy wearing it. It's actually shaped like a smile, so it contours to human hips in a way that I've not seen other belts on the market, which some of them end up that way over time because they get worn out and worn in, but this is actually designed with a rigid core. That's what ARC stands for, is adjustable rigid core. It's a rigid core, it contours to your hips, and it's super light. So light plus rigid means that it disperses all of that weight from your loaded magazines and your med kit and your dumpy pouch and your loaded pistol, whatever have you on your belt, right? Disperses all of that weight all the way around your waist and does it really, really comfortably. Honestly, when I'm wearing mine, I forget that I have it on. You guys, head on over to HRTTacticalGear.com. Check out the ARC belt. Check out their carriers. They also sell body armor and medical and range gear and so much more. Huge, huge supporters of what we do, you guys. Also, want to say thank you to 100 Concepts, again, who was also setting up some of their caps last night. If you guys run an ACOG, I was setting up one of those, and it's a really, really cool design, how they're able to bring this together to work with your ACOG so that you can have front and rear caps with the hex pattern built into it. We also put on an RMR cap because my buddy has the RMR piggybacked on his ACOG. They do light caps, which you guys are all aware of this, right? Their website, it's 100concepts.com. They've been around for a couple years now and supporters of ours for almost 2 years, really. And they're doing outstanding work, you guys. In the industry, they're super, super highly regarded for the very, very commonsensical solutions that they provide to some really, really common problems that we all face. And a lot of us just chose not to address because it was too much of a pain. Now you have solutions. You have these well thought out products and ideas and things that Garrett, Jonah, Pierce, the crew over at 100 Concepts are working very, very hard to listen and bring you guys better solutions. Again, it's 100concepts.com. And finally, I want to say thank you to RMA Armor, you guys. You can head over to RMADefense.com and pick up some armor plates. They are a great company. They're made here in the United States. They have a terrific sales price right now on their level 4 armor. And guys, I mean, I've never heard a bad thing about RMA. Honestly, I can tell you that there's a lot of armor companies out there. There's even been a couple in the last few years that have lost NIJ accreditation, some that were completely forced to shut down because they were not passing their NIJ qualifications and things. That's not RMA. RMA makes armor for the average civilian, which is us. Okay, head on over to their website. You guys can use discount code PreparedMindset5. You can save 5% off your order and support what we do here at Prepared Mindset when you pick up some new gear. They also have carriers. I believe they have helmets and things. They have backers. They even have their female cut armor. So if you're trying to pick up a front plate for your wife, it's a great, great solution. I highly recommend looking into. Again, you guys, thank you to RMA Armor. Their website is RMADefense.com. Highly recommend you check it out. Okay. So this week, we're going to talk about something that I think this isn't a discussion so much in terms of the tactical side. I mean, it is. All of this comes back to the preparedness space, the prepared mindset, the tactical training realm, because, you know, otherwise why, you know, hey, Austin, why are we talking about this? It's pertinent. It is. It really is. We're going to be talking about, like, the importance, my feelings on the importance of setting priorities and not even setting your priorities, but adhering to those priorities as you go in and out of your everyday life. because I think it's really easy to tell people what to do. It's really easy to make your life about one singular thing, have one singular focus within your life. For instance, right, we can talk about training. Hey, you know, I work my day job because I have to pay my bills, but then like I come home and I go to the gym every night, and that's cool because your health should be a priority. Then I come home, my wife has dinner ready, so I eat and then we take care of the kids, whatever, and then we do our own separate thing and then we go to bed and kind of repeat. And then we get to our weekends and you know, my weekends are mine, so I go to the gun range for 4 or 5 hours, you know, every weekend, without question. And I spend the extra money, you know, on ammo and gear and training trips and classes and things like that. And, you know, I guess the point I'm trying to get to with some of it is, if that's how you're living your life for a week or two, that's not a big deal. But if that's how you're living your life month after month after month, you are, and I say this for the men listening, I know we have female listeners, but I say this for the men listening, is that you're not doing a very good job of managing your priorities. When I think about priorities, I can kind of loop it into four different categories. Almost anything and everything I could think of could come back to four categories, which was like family and life, because that's probably the most, it should be the most important thing to any of us and all of us. Because whenever we ask anybody, why do you do this? Like, why do you shoot? Why do you train? Why, like, what are you doing here? And the answer is, I'm learning this to defend my home and protect my family and loved ones. So much so that it's almost become like a pre-prescribed response and a scripted answer, if you will, right? That the people in this community will say that because it's become so common and so socially accepted to a degree. But then also you think about training and learning, maybe that's its own priority group. For me, I would say financial is one of the groups as well in terms of priorities, and time is a huge one. And I almost didn't, like, that was the last one I got on the list, because it slapped me in the face and I was like, oh, I think this list is done. And then it's like, no shit. Like, time, you have to prioritize your time management, because out of everything on this list, you can't get it back. You can't get time back. And there's a lot of guys in this space who will tell you, people who've been in the military, or they were in the military, they got out, went back in the military, or they're in law enforcement, who will tell you they either did lose their families. It's not like they died, but they got, you know, parents get divorced, move away with the kid because you're never around because you're deploying all the time, or whatever the case may be. That's not really the point. I guess it kind of is, but you need to, and they feed into each other. And we're going to kind of get into it about my thoughts and how I think this all, everything plays together. And it's almost like a balancing act, you know, like a four-legged stool sort of thing. Like, yeah, you can, if any one of those is suffering or shorter, you're going to fall over. Maybe not immediately. And maybe you can balance yourself, you know. Think about if you're at the bar watching the Super Bowl and one of the legs on your stool is 2 or 3 inches shorter than all the rest. Like, could you sit there without falling over? I mean, yeah. Yeah, you're going to have to focus on it really, really, really hard, and you have to work really, really, really hard. So let's start first and foremost with, I guess, family and your life and life outside of the tactical space. I think, like I said a moment ago, it should be the most important thing for all of us. And it's become this very, very, like, this odd flex that guys will spend every weekend out on the range and every night at the gym. And, you know, and it's good. It is. It's good. If you can afford to live that way, and I mean, afford that in terms of not only money, but in time and attention and things like that, and that's how you and your spouse make it work, then I can't really fault you. But here's the thing, and I realize this more and more as I get older, I start to value time spent with my parents a lot more. You know, my parents are pushing in their upper 60s. Like, you know, my dad will be in 70 in a couple of years here. And I didn't always have a great relationship with my parents. I think a lot of us could probably say the same thing. You know, things with mom and dad were not always super rosy, super fun. But you kind of, you should anyway. You should push past that. But I know a lot of people don't. I know a lot of people never, ever let go of the problems that they have with their parents, or a parent, maybe it's just a single parent, and they don't let it go. They let that series of unfortunate events, right, or memories or experiences with your mother, or maybe it's with your father, right? If it was abusive, and that doesn't have to mean physically, It could mean emotionally. Certainly, I think emotional is more and more common these days just because physical abuse is, there's so much more attention paid to it, which is obviously a good thing, but emotional abuse in a lot of ways, right? And not to get into that too much, but as your parents get older, there's less and less opportunity, right? Like every day that passes that you don't see them, you don't talk to them, you don't think about them. Every time you see them, you don't tell them you love them, right? That's an opportunity missed. And eventually you run out of those opportunities. So like I look for opportunities to go see my parents, go sit at their house. I mean, like this past season was tremendous for like the Detroit Lions. So as lifelong Lions fans, and my dad recently converted to being a Seahawks fan for some dumbass reason, but as our family's lifelong Lions fans, this was a really big deal. You know, this is probably the best season that our team's ever had. And I made a point of going to my parents' house for almost every single game. So whether it was like a 1 o'clock kickoff or the late game, or I think we had like a Saturday game, or obviously we're there for Thanksgiving and stuff. But just to watch the game, you know, like spend some time with my parents. That way my wife and my mother can bond and spend time together, and I can see my dad and talk about, you know, whatever the hell's going on. It doesn't matter, right? And that's I prioritize that. You know, could I be going out to the bar with my buddies or going to a house party and drinking and watching the game? Could I be, you know, on Sundays instead of going to my parents at 1 o'clock to watch the game, could I be on the gun range? Yeah, I could. And could I go out and, you know, could I skip family gatherings to, you know, go do it? And it doesn't have to be range related stuff or tactical related stuff, but am I going to skip those gatherings, family gatherings for holidays like Easter and things, to go away for a weekend instead? I understand a lot of people do it, and I start to understand that everybody's family dynamic is different, but no, me personally, I find too much happiness and too much joy, and I believe really, really strongly that you will forever regret that you didn't spend that time with your family, because you can't get it back. Once somebody passes away, once somebody dies, all the I wishes, all the, you know, if only I had, you know, if I could just have one more. And everybody, you know, people post it, they post it on social media and they put it in their stories and shit. We all see, oh, if I could just hear their voice one more time, if I could just talk to them one more time. And in a lot of instances, that can remain true even if you do spend a lot of time, or enough time, if there's even such a thing, right, with your family. But a lot of times we prioritize dumb things over spending time with our family. And that doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be your parents. It can be with your siblings. I mean, I know people get estranged from their siblings. I have issues with my own brother where I don't talk to him for a long, long, long time. You know, and then we might exchange some messages and whatever, and there's a lot to that. Does it bother me? I don't necessarily think that I think about it every single day, but when I do think about it, yeah, I mean, that kind of thing bothers me, because you don't get that back, you know. And having poor relationships with family, when something goes wrong, like, who do you reach out to? Almost immediately is family. Hey, you know, car broke down. Hey, so-and-so's locked out of, I can't even tell you how many times I got phone calls asking me to let my brother into his house because I lived a couple blocks from him. And because, you know, he didn't want to call anyone else for whatever reason. So, yeah, I mean, there were days where I was literally in the shower and my phone goes off and I reach out to the counter and grab it because I brought my phone in the bathroom with me, and I got to jump out of the freaking shower and wet hair and everything in the middle of winter, go, you know, drive over a spare key to let him into his house. You call your family for little things like a locked door, or big things like a birth in the family, a death in the family, major issues, you know. And looking for the opportunities to spend time with those people in your life is critical. And we're going to talk here about the other categories, for lack of a better phrase, but or the other types of priorities, like training, like spending time and money and everything on training. But here's my point to this is, you need to have your own priorities. And I was talking about this I was talking about this sort of with Alex Manner from he's Leaderless Gentleman on Instagram. He was a guest on the podcast. He is one of the instructors with Maneuver Training Solutions and Orion Training Group. He teaches with Blake Flannery quite often. I got to meet him in person and talk to him in person at the Human Trafficking Awareness Range Day last September. So shout out to that event because it's coming up. And I think there's openings if you guys are looking at going. But talking to Alex, and there was something he mentioned in the podcast and he mentioned in the text conversation he and I had. And then in his stories, he even had a patch of it, and it was GTBOYH. It was get the bitch out your heart. And you know, for me, I was struggling at the moment with decisions and prioritization and things. And you know, I had friends that wanted me to go out and do some like a field training exercise, which I wanted to go to, and at the same time, had my wife, who, by the way, she's fantastic. She supports everything that I do here with this podcast and all my training. I cannot tell you the last time that woman gave me a hard time over buying a piece of gear, a piece of kit, and anything. I cannot tell you the last time that she told me, nope, you cannot go train. No, you can't go out. No, you can't do this. So for me, as a husband, right, and I felt bad that I was even conflicted when she said, hey, I want to go away for 4th of July for the holiday. We got invited to go with a couple of friends. I want to go do this. And I wanted to go too. And I was conflicted with, you know, hey, how do I make this decision here? Where do I put the time and the energy and the effort and the focus? And was talking with Alex about it, and I really just want to do this for my wife, but I know that I'm going to get shit from some of my boys for not going. Like, I can just feel it. I can visualize it. I can, because it's happened before. So like, I know I'm going to get shit for not going. And basically, and I'm paraphrasing, but it was funny because Alex sent me a message saying, "Can I be honest with you?" And then it like popped up. It had been edited. It says, "I'm going to be honest with you." And I'm like, cool. Like, I want it raw and I want the truth and I want it to be, you know, brutal. And just like, and drop that on me, you know, like, you're a bitch if you don't do what you want to do. You're not a, like, and people throw that word around. Like, I've been called a pussy before for not going out into the woods for an overnight trip for quote unquote training. I've been called a bitch for not doing certain things. Usually pretty unfounded shit. Like, hey, why did you not carry 7 loaded mags on your kit? Why are you only carrying 5? I go, I don't know, weight savings. And I was called a bitch. I'm like, okay, well, that's just stupid. All of it's stupid, to be honest with you. But his point was, you know, in your heart what you want to do. And I kind of like, your greater priority is to spend time with your wife. She, for me, like I said, she's never asked me for anything. And truly, I believe if I would have told her, no, I really want to go and do, you know, this trip with my buddies instead, she probably would have been okay with, she would have let it go. But I know it wouldn't have been fair. It would have bothered me. Like, that's just, it's super selfish. And there are, I know, a lot of people out there who do that kind of thing. You know, they have wives and kids, and their largest priority is training. The trips that they go on every year are just that. They're training trips. Their kids don't get vacations. Their wives don't get trips. They don't, you know, they don't go away without their children for, you know, a weekend or a week or whatever, you know, because their priority is that, or the individual's priority is that he goes out and he trains. And I think that sometimes we find false justification to explain a lot of that away. And maybe this is like a good segue into some of these other ideas here, like the training and learning. You know, we talk about making training a priority, and you should. A lot of people find reasons to justify why they can't train, why they don't train. Some people flat out fucking lie. Like, I know there's people out there that are like, oh yeah, I'm like, when's the last time you shot your carry gun? I don't know, 4 or 6 months ago. Yeah, you went to the range. I went 2 months ago, but it was busy. And it's like, okay, so you know at least a handful of people with range memberships to an outdoor range. You you need, if you're carrying a gun with you on a regular basis, you need to be shooting that gun on a regular basis. Is how I feel about it. But there are those people out there that lie about it. Now, they're not prioritizing training and learning enough, because training isn't the same as learning. Learning can be, that information can be learned and then retained over time without what I'll say is additional effort. Now, I mean, if you never think about that or whatever, like, you're fine. You're going to forget some stuff is what I mean. but it's going to take a while for you to just forget something, right? Whereas training, the things that we train on, like shooting, for example, are perishable skills. So you do need to prioritize your training to a degree, but like we were talking about with the four-legged bar stool, right? If one leg is shorter, meaning you're not doing it enough, you have to work really, really hard to stay sitting up. The same can be true if you have three short legs and one really long one, because then you're going to be leaning over and rocking back and forth, and like there's just more problems there. So it has to be an even keel balance. And there are people that are very, very proud in our space of how much money and time they spend on classes and how much time they spend not on classes, but are out training and doing the things that they believe are the most important. And this isn't to say that they aren't important. What I'm trying to say, and hopefully what you guys are hearing when you listen to this, is that, like, I think, what company was it? They did like a commercial, and I remember, like, it was a weird white guy, like in office clothes or something, sitting there just like shoveling down some shrimp cocktail. It was some kind of liquor company, I think, but I mean, it was like Stoli or something, vodka. and like the whole tagline was like, you know, shrimp cocktail, like all cocktail, is best in moderation. And that's the thing, is that all of this has to be done in moderation and balanced and be careful. If you want to achieve, if you have goals in all of these respects, but if you're spending all of your time, you're over prioritizing training, or you're under prioritizing it, there are consequences to both sides of that. you know, I'm not saying that you shouldn't spend money on classes. I'm saying that maybe, you know, take two a year or three a year. From most people, right, that is a perfectly adequate and attainable benchmark in terms of what's reasonable. You know, because it's not that, I think sometimes when people look at classes, some people have the idea that they're too expensive to go train. Until you start, like, I always challenge people, I put it in perspective of, well, what do you make? What do you make per hour? Okay, well, here's the thing. You are going to a 5-hour class for $200, right? So what's 200 divided by 5? It's $40 per hour. Okay, so you have how many people in this class? And it's like, oh, yeah, all this. Okay, well, then what is the instructor paying to rent out that space? And what is the instructor putting out of pocket to, you know, travel to this class? Or if they're based out of the same range every time, like Ann Arbor Arms here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, what are they putting out of their own pocket in ammo to train you? Because someone has to pay for it. I don't know if the range would pay for it. Like when Robbie or Craig or one of the guys runs a class, right? And is all of that money coming straight back to the instructor? Usually not. There's usually other costs that are associated with it. And when you look at it, it's really not that bad. But people will say, oh, classes are too expensive. And here's the other thing, too, is there are some people that will take, you know, hey, I'm taking a class a month this year. And they'll take 12 classes. And they will think that, some folks will think that that alone is enough to label themselves as quite proficient. And in reality, it's not the case. Those classes are good and they are very helpful and you can learn a lot without a doubt. I'm not arguing that, but you then have to, after those classes, go spend time working on what you learned and what you took away from the course and the curriculum. It's not like you take a single handgun class and then you're just good. Like you're fine. You never have to worry about handgun again. It's why you see some guys take multiple carbine classes, why they take, you know, multiple handgun courses. And I'm not saying you should, you know, go take the same class 5 times in a row from whatever training company, you know, maybe a couple times. And then, you know, maybe a couple years later, you come back for, you know, a little bit more, because good training companies will update their curriculum. But here's the other thing is that all takes that time going to too many classes, right? Especially if you have to travel, because if you guys live in Michigan, or if you live in a state that is similar to Michigan, where it feels like there are just not quality training opportunities available, and there may be some here, I don't know. I really don't know where here in Michigan you can find really good tactical training. You know, we had Orion Training Group come up here to Michigan for, structure clearance training, because there was no place up here that really, that we relied on and trusted to learn what we wanted to learn. So here's the thing. That's that travel. That's money. That's gas money. That's money on the hotel. That's money on the course fee. If it's a shooting class, that's money on your ammo. That's money on food, and that's time. That's time spent away traveling. If you're gone all weekend, you're probably leaving, you know, early Friday or late Thursday and not getting back till late Sunday or early Monday. That's financial strain. And the financial thing, honestly, is one of the ones that kills me. It absolutely crushes me, because and I always think when I talk about this, I think back to like 2008 when I had a drumline instructor who, and this was like right when the first generation iPhone was coming out and stuff. He was a big fan of the Rome is Burning podcast, and Jim Rome, who's a ESPN, I want to say analyst, because he's a personality. Jim Rome has been around for a long time, but he had a rant about Softball Guy, and who Softball Guy was, this fictitious character who everybody has at least like one friend they could think of who takes softball like way too seriously. And he would rattle off all these things. You know, Softball Guy thinks, you know, if his high school coach didn't hate him, he'd be playing in the major leagues. You know, Softball Guy thinks if he didn't get hurt his senior year or freshman year of college or whatever and didn't tear his ACL, he for sure would have, been drafted into the minor league system and would be playing in the major leagues. You know, Softball Guy will go out and spend $1,800 on, you know, a new, better softball bat while his family is at home eating macaroni and cheese and hot dogs every night for that month to make up that difference, you know. Softball, and it goes on and it goes on, and it's this guy who has like a super overinflated idea of himself and takes his, essentially it's a hobby, right? And I don't like using the hobby word to explain kind of what we do, because I think from maybe a moral, I was going to say ethical, that's the wrong word, maybe a moral standpoint, right? This is a little more serious. We are talking about, like, in essence, like protection of your home, protection of your family, yourself, potentially others, right? Depending on the situation, the scenario. So it's a little bit different. But we have these guys, these people in our community that will literally go spend all of their family's expense. Because here's how I kind of look at this big picture. The money that a man makes, the money that a man makes that is to then turn around and he is to support his family. That is your duty as a husband and as a father, is to support your family. So that means pay for your mortgage or rent, right? That means pay to put food on the table. And maybe you're a dual income household, so that lightens the load. I mean, a lot of people are dual income households in this economy. I don't know how some folks make it work otherwise. I really don't. Things are so bad right now, but you will take then as a single income household, where so it's already tight, right? And you will take every bit of that extra money and you're buying 1,000 rounds of 9mm and 1,000 rounds of 5.56 and 1,000 rounds of, 300 blackout, subsonics, you know, because those are sweet. And then you buy 1,000 rounds of 7.62 because you have one AK and there's no money left. And your family's kind of, you know, okay, well, whatever. We'll just eat what we eat, and that's it is what it is. And there's nothing extra. So, like, your wife never gets a new purse or a dinner out without the kids. Or the family, I mean, the family as a whole. We don't go out to eat because there's no money left for that. And there are people that, they really lean into this because they will sit there and they will, like, just gravitate and magnetized to people like Lucas Botkin, who up until recently was unwed and doesn't have kids and is running a very successful business and has a higher level of income than all of them, right? Telling you, and this isn't a dig at Lucas. and I'll complete the point, telling you that if you just cut out unnecessary and frivolous things like eating out, that you'll have the extra money to do things like buy gear and buy training and ammo and firearms and night vision. And technically that's true, but at some point you're past cutting out frivolous things, and you are then being detrimental to the quality of life that you are giving your family. You are essentially prioritizing everything over your family at that point. And I'm not saying you need to go out every week. I'm not even saying you need to go out to eat every month necessarily, or you need to go on multiple vacations a year. But like, you know, take your family on a weekend getaway, even if it's to go learn how to camp in the woods. Those are like incredibly impactful and important memories for children. And because I never got to do that growing up, we went camping one time, and that was to go tubing. And it was a fucking miserable, miserable fucking experience. We didn't want to go. Me and my brothers did not want to go. There was like, we had two options on whatever camping trip we were doing. And my uncle, who has three girls at the time, if I'm remembering this correctly, the girls threw a fit and they all wanted to go tubing. So that's what we did. Like, what we wanted didn't fucking matter. They wanted to go tubing. So we decided we're all fucking going tubing. And it was just, it was horrendously awful. We stayed at a campground. I mean, we had a tent and stuff, but like, it wasn't that great. We basically spent two nights out there. We drove out on like a Friday. We stayed Friday night, tubed on Saturday, stayed Saturday night, and then came home Sunday morning. Like, pretty bland vanilla. We never went out and camped. My family was not a hunting family, so I didn't learn like hunting or field craft or any of that stuff. But you know, had we had a more enjoyable experience, probably would have been something I mean, obviously I remember it to this day, but for like all the wrong fucking reasons, like all the drunk people that I saw up and down that fucking river. And, you know, like it doesn't have to be expensive, but take the little bit of money that you do have, if that's what your budget dictates, right? And take a little bit of time, right? And prioritize your family memories and your family experiences and the quality that you're putting into raising your children. And maybe prioritize that over a training trip, or prioritize that over, you know, another plate carrier or another belt or another optic or your like 17th fucking rifle that you don't need. Make better decisions. And, you know, and think about it, like stop and think. There's so many times like, oh, so-and-so is running a sale, so I picked up another upper. And it's like, why? You know, like I get it, because you can shoot out the barrels on your upper and things like that. And sometimes you legitimately, like if you have the extra money, like cool, it's not hurting anything. That's fine. Maybe your kids are super, super young, so you know, it takes less money because they're not eating, you know, near as much food and shit like that or whatever. I know it's not a black and white. But what I'm saying is set your priorities and let those be your priorities, and don't let anybody tell you, you know, like, you know, in your heart what's right, but it requires you to be honest. It requires you to be honest with yourself. And I'll tell you, man, if you're training in a group of dudes and you have one person or a handful of people, maybe it's the whole group telling you, you know, hey, you're not doing enough here. There is the possibility that that could be true, but more often than not, it probably isn't. I know in my own experiences, we have guys that aren't around all the time because they have family stuff. They have kids that play sports. They have family get-togethers. They have family trips. If you're doing it right, you won't ever be at everything. And I think that's important to call out. And if you find yourself, and be introspective, be fucking honest, if you're the one sitting there giving everybody shit, calling everyone names, being a fucking asshole because you really want to go train, you know, you want to go do a fucking 8-hour medical outing in the middle of, I don't know, state land or something to go talk about hemorrhaging and how to carry somebody who's ambulatory out, if you can carry a casualty, you know, 2 miles or something with four guys on a litter, I mean, that's cool. Schedule it, plan it, see who wants to do it. But if people can't make it for whatever reason, like, that doesn't give you carte blanche to be an asshole about it. It just means, okay, well, you know what? I really wanted this to work out. Maybe we need to schedule it a different time, or we'll try it. Or maybe, you know, just it wasn't supposed to happen. Like, stuff comes up. People's jobs, like right now, I'm juggling a bunch of crap with work. I'm traveling all the time. We're busy all the time. So like, I don't get extra time during my work day, or my lunch period. Some days, most days I work through my lunch. It's it is what it is. You have to pay the bills and you have to prioritize your livelihood, right, over some of these other things, which is easier for some of us than others. You know, for me, working from home the way I'm able to, yeah, I have more free time than a lot of people do just because I don't spend that time commuting back and forth. I try not to take it for granted or give people grief because they don't find that same time in their day because it's taken up by other things like a commute or like a longer work day. Cause I get it. Some people work 4 10s or something, or some people work overtime because they are a single income household. But make sure you understand the pros and cons to each of these decisions. Like, make your priorities and stick to them, and know that you don't have to justify yourself to anybody other than yourself. I mean, and your family, right? I mean, whatever discussion and dialogue is held between you and your wife, that is your business and your business alone, however you guys make it work. If it's a happy marriage, you don't have to explain it to anyone. And I think it's a problem in today's community and our culture that, probably because of too much electronic communication, we have people that think that they are owed an explanation. They are owed loyalty. I think they believe that they're owed allegiance. And by that, I mean, because somebody wants to do something, you as their friend or teammate or I don't even know what other fucking word I'm searching for here, that because it's important to them, it must therefore be important to you. And that can be true, but it can also be false. It doesn't have to be true. You can share interests. You cannot share interests. If we talk about the training aspects and the whole preparedness idea, right? Like, there's so many ways you could go with it. There are people who are tremendously passionate about field craft, tremendously passionate about combatives and self-defense, medical, radios, drones now are becoming huge after we're seeing everything that's going on in Ukraine. So now all of a sudden people who have that as a side passion are, A, if they're in the tactical community, they're being sought out. Or, you know, B, if they weren't in the tactical community, they have their friends trying to annex them in, for, you know, like, lack of a better term. Hey, come train with us, man. We want to learn from you. We want to see, like, what you have is really special and things like that. But they may not be into all as much of the other stuff. So, like, yeah, go learn it because there's value in it, but you're under no obligation. You're under no obligation to shift and realign your priorities for anyone other than yourself. And I genuinely mean that. And it's something I think we all struggle with because some of us work very, very hard in our space and our community, right, to find our, I hate saying this because it's such a misused or overused concept and phrase, but to find your tribe or find your training group or training buddies, whatever. Like, a lot of us struggle with that because people are very under the radar a lot of the times, with the fact alone that they do this in their free time. You know, just walk around advertising that you shoot and you train and you own gear and you have conservative values and things like that, right? For a lot of reasons, mostly because you just don't want to deal with people's bullshit all the day telling you how weird you are and that you're wrong about everything. So finding a group can be intensely difficult. And so for that reason, I can totally understand the hesitancy around not wanting to lose that connection. You know, I worked so hard to find these guys in this group and these people who, for the most part, seem to accept me, but they want me to prioritize this over everything else in my life. And that could be, that may be a little bit, you know, overly dramatic, but for the sake of this example, like, say that is what's going on. Make the decision. What makes you happier? Does seeing your wife and kids happy, going out camping or going to, I mean, here in Michigan, we call it up north. We're like the northern half of the state, places like Gaylord and Traverse City and Alpena and stuff like that, where you can go enjoy the water and hang out and have like a weekend or 3 or 4 days away versus, you know, a training trip out of town. Like, yeah, you know, if you have to make that choice, it shouldn't even be a fucking question. It shouldn't be a question. And anybody who really gives a fuck about you and your family and calls themselves your friend will understand that. They'll never question it. They'll never challenge you on it. They'll just hear the words and just know, yep, hey man, that's cool. I hope you enjoy it. I hope it's everything that you need, everything that you guys want. I hope the kids have a great time, whatever it is. If that person responds with comments like, you know, I question your dedication, I think you're soft, you're being a bitch, it's fucking stupid that you're not doing this, then you kind of have your answer, you know? I think that in a technological age where people are very comfortable saying some things that they probably wouldn't say to your face, they'll type it out and they'll, you know, because usually you get it from the liberals. You usually get it, you know, in liberal conversations. And it's become just as bad, actually, in liberal versus conservative conversations. We all have that friend at parties that wants to make things about a political statement and then wants to argue. And then as soon as things heat up, they want to act like the fucking victim. You know, we as people in the conservative side of things, we're not immune from that. That's kind of one of these odd side effects that's come out of the increased amount of technology in our lives and increased amounts of electronic communication, is that people don't always think about how their message is going to be received when they send it, whether that's pressing send or speaking, like physically speaking. So there is this resulting tension that is created because person A receives the message from person B. Person B thinks they're totally justified and nothing was wrong. And person A is about ready to fucking punch him in the mouth. Person B sitting there going, well, you know, what did I say that was wrong? And sometimes, you know, you get that whole victim thing and stuff. And here's the thing. I'm not saying that we should, if we have a disagreement, we should go to blows over it. I'm not saying that you need to sit down and collaborate with your bros on every decision you make, because you need to explain that this is my priorities and explain. You shouldn't have to explain yourself is a big part of what I'm trying to say here. And if you feel anxious about it, if you have anxiety about it, right? If you're feeling really weird and really questioning yourself, it's probably indicative of other issues you probably need to address, which may be a much harder conversation. But you're doing the right thing because you're prioritizing family. You're spending your money on family. Now, again, and I said this earlier, right? The flip side of this can be fucking true. You know, I think that sometimes we really do need to look at people and say, hey, man, you spent a bunch of money on, you know, a suppressor and building out your rifle, and you did your, you know, your SBR stamp because you wanted a stock instead of, you know, a little rubber toy. I get it, like, totally cool and everything, man. It's badass. Like, you built a clone gun or whatever. I mean, it could be fucking anything, right? Why aren't you training? And if it's somebody who is, and here's the thing, if it's somebody who is not part of your training group and, you know, you only talk to once in a while, or like fuck them. You know, like, seriously, at that point, prioritize your own fucking happiness and time, and don't sit there and try and, like, bend them to your will, right? Like, sometimes it literally is just easier to walk away and say, fuck them. However, if this is somebody who wants to be a contributing member, I will say, of your group or your tribe, whatever, it is important then for you to maybe have that conversation and maybe let them know, like, hey, I understand this is where your priorities lie. Do you understand that if you want this, if priorities are reflective of certain goals? If you have the goal of a happy marriage, if you have the goal of giving your kids a good life, if you have the goal of training, if you have the goal of a savings account, you know, the list goes on, right? Everything has to be in good balance. Well, if you have the goal of wanting to be able to defend your home and protect your family, and that could mean different things, right? If you don't ever think you're going to leave your home because bugging in makes way more sense, and it fucking does, by the way, regardless of how sexy staying at home is or isn't, bugging in is almost always the better option if you can choose it. But I digress, right? If your friend, right, they have that goal, or they tell you they have that goal and that's what they want, and by the way, you know, you're not a fucking mind reader, so you can only help them so much, and I've had that happen. I've had that happen where people have you know, people in my life have told me, yeah, I want to get night vision, yeah, I want to train, yeah, I want to learn, yeah, I want to do this, and when it comes to it, right? They don't want to go out. They don't want to experience any discomfort. They don't want to spend the money on the gear. They will go out of their way to find every reason and then some to justify why they're not doing it. And it's like, you know what? Hey, if you don't want to do this, like, listen, just tell me that. Like, am I going to love it? Probably not. But like, fuck me. You don't owe me an explanation. And here's the thing. You're grown ass men sitting here talking, having a fucking conversation about what is important to us in our lives. I owe no man an explanation on why I make my decisions. Now, and on the same token, I have to live with the consequences because every decision has a consequence. So whether that means like, hey, I didn't ever go out training. I deprioritize that in lieu of other things. Yeah, you know, now I'm not able to effectively defend my home. Now I'm actually more of a liability with a firearm because I never go practice with it because you prioritize other things. So maybe financially speaking, right, you prioritize other things like booze and cigars or parties or trips or whatever that maybe you don't need all of, maybe you just need some of, but you overspend, right? And you don't want to make the financial commitment prioritizing buying training ammo. This goes back to what I'm saying, where you absolutely have to hold all things in a balance. Keep all things within reason, right? In an equal balance. Now, I should say that there are things that happen in life where you have to prioritize maybe family time and things over the rest. Things happen. They're out of our control. I'm not insensitive to that. You know, family members fall ill. When you have a sick parent, I watched my mother go through it, unfortunately, with my grandmother when she was dying of cancer. My mom put everything else aside, everything, when my grandmother got sick. We, as a family, suffered, not only because we watched my grandmother pass, you know, over those months, but because my mother was emotionally unavailable. She was very angry, understandable, you know, frustrated, angry. She wasn't working as much, so then my dad was, you know, paying more of the bills than he was previously. Everyone works together. That's the whole point of a family, right? Everyone pulls together, ideally, right, in the same direction. So I get that it's not always a, you know, 25%, 25%, you know, it's not always going to be equal and other things happen. But in that instance, you are 100% doing the right thing by spending that time with your family. A, because it doesn't look like you'd have much time left, but because they need you. And yeah, does that mean that if that were to happen today, I would, you know, yeah, oh, hey, you're missing this training class. Yeah, there will be another training class. These days, I won't ever get back. Not maybe. I'll never get that back. The memories, the feelings, the joy, you know, because here's the thing is that when you make those proper decisions, right, you strengthen those bonds. Your family becomes closer. You and your wife are stronger as a pair because you're taking care of each other, right? And I see that kind of thing a lot, you know, like a lot of people will humble brag about their marriages. And I hate even saying the phrase humble brag about it because, like, you should be happy. If your marriage is that strong and you are that, you know, in love with your spouse, like, I think that just means you're doing the right things, whatever things that is. That just means that you're doing the right things. That's awesome. You know? It's one of the parts of this that drives me the most insane is because we don't know what's going on in other people's lives. We don't know the hardships that they're suffering mentally, emotionally. Like, we as men, we don't talk about our feelings. Like, go listen to that Darius Rucker song about, you know, Be a Man or whatever the hell it's called. That's a pretty tough one. You know, we don't talk about feelings. We're not supposed to talk about our feelings. You don't know what people are going through. And as you get older, as you experience more, you start to understand that. You start to give people a little bit more leeway. You start to, I don't want to say you care less, but you know, hey, maybe they're dealing with something right now. It's fine. Maybe I'll just let them go. Like, let them take the weekend. Let them do what they need to do. Or, hey, you know what? They're not here for this training session. Like, maybe some shit's going on at home. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to hold this against them. You know, because we don't talk about it. We won't. And 10 out of 10 times, I'll tell you, most men would rather go to blows than sit there and, you know, sit down with their buddies and go, hey, you guys have been real dicks lately. But let me tell you, emotionally, I've been suffering for the past 8 months. Emotionally, I've been a wreck. I've been having regular anxiety attacks that I haven't been able to control because the family's having issues and we have financial struggles and we're okay, but it's not the okay that it should be. So I'm not okay. And the problem with a lot of that too, you know, like you're supposed to look to your friends for support, right? Friends and family. So you look to your friend, you're supposed to support each other. So it's supposed to work together. A, you have your set priorities. You make your right decisions for what's right for you. And then fuck everybody else. And your friends are supposed to be there. Your boys are supposed to be there to back you the fuck up. They're supposed to be there for you without fucking question. That's part of the allure of training together, isn't it? Right? Is that, you know, it's not really a meme, but it's a video clip of Joey Diaz on the, not Jim Rome. I keep thinking of fucking Jim Rome now. Of Joey Diaz being interviewed for the Joe Rogan, right? The Joe Rogan podcast. You need four motherfuckers. It's all you need. Four motherfuckers and you can take over the world or whatever. Like, we all want that tight-knit group of guys where it is without fucking question, you know, just like in the movie The Town with Jeremy Renner and Ben Affleck, like, I need your help, I can't tell you what, and we can never talk about it again. And all he does is say, whose car are we taking? Like, no fucking questions asked. Like, I'm your boy, I'm gonna ride with you, we're gonna take care of each other, we're gonna do what we gotta fucking do, and I'm not gonna ask questions about it, and I'm not gonna fucking question it. So that is what so many of us are striving for. You want to build those. It's what so many people miss about being in the military. And I can say that confidently, having heard it from numerous guests in the military, numerous guests in law enforcement, that like those men, while not being your blood related brother, obviously, those are your fucking brothers. That's what so many of us are chasing and like questing after, is that relationship. And that ironically, when we do the things that we as men need to do, we have these people that we regard in brotherly ways, right? Not always act the way a brother should. So it's difficult. And that's, I say this, like, knowing that it might upset some people, but that's the fucking problem with some folks that are just too fucking young to experience enough of life to understand. You know, sometimes the world's, so, you know, and honestly, you know, I don't even know if that goes away as you get that much older, or if you just get better at dealing with it. I don't know. I mean, I'm 35 almost. Like, that's not really that old. It's older than 24, yes, but it's not really that old. But I can tell you that there's an awful lot of people I've met that are not even in their 30s yet, who seem to think that they have everything figured out, and then they act and prioritize based off of what they believe. And, you know, maybe at the time it's right. But I think when you look back on some of those decisions, I know I regret a lot of decisions, not doing more for my family or with my family or for my wife. And that's, I think we got a pretty solid thing going. I think she would agree. But yeah, I definitely look back and go, you know, I probably could have done more. You know, I probably could have handled that differently or done that differently. My dad used to tell me, I mean, And here's the problem with outside input too, is that they may just not fucking know. Like, my dad used to tell me all the time when I was in my early 20s that my priorities were all fucked up. He wanted me to quit marching, indoor drumline and stuff, which I did that for 6 years. I was pretty okay at it. I was a 6-time world finalist. I was a leader of the group by the time that I aged out when I was 22, which led to a lot of really interesting opportunities in life. But my father disagreed with it. He thought I should have been going out to get a different job or a better job. I should have been doing things differently. He didn't like that I was doing it. He used to tell me all the time that my priorities were all fucked up. And it's weird because once I aged out, I turned 22, right? I aged out, I could no longer do it. Then, excuse me, other opportunities arose. Like when I got to travel to London, as in England, and it didn't cost me anything other than my spending money. The organization that sent me over there paid for me to get a passport and have it expedited, and paid for my airfare and my the 5-star hotel we stayed in over there, by the way, and we got per diem. So I never got, you know, whatever. I used to drum for a professional sports team, was on the field for all of those games for like 8 seasons. Nope, nothing. Was on TV, got to do halftime shows and stuff like that. Got to experience a lot of really interesting things because of those decisions that I made and how I drew my own priorities then. And it taught me a lot too, you know, that activity and everything about determination, working hard, how to practice. So like when I sit here and dry fire and stuff, so I mean, while it may not always be the easy thing, I knew what was right for me at the time and set those priorities accordingly. And they paid dividends for me later in life into who I've become. So that is maybe an example of when I probably should have had more support from the people around me and didn't. And it worked out. Maybe it doesn't always work out. But the message that I've been pushing out this entire time, right, it really has been, you know, to go back to what Alex told me, is get the bitch out your heart. You know what's good for you. You know what's right for you. Be honest with yourself. Be reflective. Be introspective. And make the decisions that are right for you. And don't let anyone else fucking tell you that you're doing the wrong shit. Don't let anybody else's feelings or, you know, pussy aching or whatever deter you from doing that. You can never. And here's the thing, running this podcast and having a couple different people involved with it over the years, you'll never make everybody happy. And that's at work, that's in your side hustle, that's in your training, that's, you know, just going to the gym. And some guy got pissed off because we ran into him on the running track because he was walking in the passing lane. And when we said, you know, yelled, excuse me, he stepped further into the passing lane and ran into my wife and acted like we did something wrong. So just another example that you'll never make everybody fucking happy. You won't. And you will go absolutely insane trying. So prioritize what matters the most to you and abide by those priorities and live your life according to them, and fuck everybody else. Your real friends won't demand an explanation. Your real friends will talk to you. They will be there when they're supposed to be there. I don't even know a better way to say it. They won't demand the explanation. They won't demand loyalty or justification. Those things happen. That's what friendship's fucking about. If you don't have loyalty from somebody, they're not a fucking friend. And if they demand an explanation around everything that you do, also not a fucking friend. At that point, they're probably looking for somebody either to follow them or stroke their ego or hook them up with, you know, some other opportunity in life or something. But they're not a friend. So hopefully this all makes sense, you guys. Like, I have a lot of this like kicking around in my head. And it's something that I struggle with. I know, like, you can read books on it emotionally and mentally and things like that, where it's, you know, some people are, you know, typical people pleasers is a phrase that you hear, you know, thrown around and stuff. And there's probably like a diagnosis for why in your childhood something happened or probably didn't happen that led to you wanting to do things to please everybody around you, because that positive environment, that appreciation is something that you yearn for or something. I don't know. My wife reads a lot of that stuff. She could probably explain it a lot better than I can. But hopefully the message comes through in all of this. And if you're somebody who's been struggling with this, I mean, I hope it helps. Like, I really do. And I'd love to hear from some of you guys. If you're having a crisis of conscience or just not knowing, you know, how to work through it or something, like, be there for each other. You guys can reach out to us. You know, I obviously do whatever I can to help folks out. But utilize the network that you're building and lean into your tribe. And if it's not a tribe, and I hate using that phrase, mostly because of the stigma with Mike Glover and all the other shit, like, they really leaned into that. It's kind of like, it's up there with that sheepdog thing, which is not awesome as well. But truly, if those people aren't taking care of you the way family would or a brother would, like, and you're going to train to be in a life and death situation with them, something is wrong. So again, hope you guys enjoyed this. I hope you have takeaways from it. Maybe it pissed you off. If it pissed you off, some of this stuff, maybe that's indicative of larger problems. Maybe you are doing some things wrong. You need to adjust your behavior. Maybe you need to do more of something. I really don't know. My goal with these kinds of discussions and recordings and things is to trigger thoughts, trigger feelings, spur or inspire some kind of meaningful change to whoever's listening. Okay, so for better or for worse, I know that some of this stuff really sets some fucking people off. I'll probably get some guys like, fuck you, I need to take all my training classes, or fuck you, I decide how we live our lives, I bring all the money in, I do whatever, and you know what, fine, like, fuck me, what do I know? But if that's the case, like, I don't know why you're fucking listening this far into the podcast, but that's been my experience, and this has always been a podcast about sharing experiences. I'm never going to tell you you have to live your life this way, but I will tell you that a lot of what I shared here came from personal experiences, or comes from personal experiences and struggles that I've had. So for whatever that's worth to you, this isn't me preaching, this is me sharing. And I hope that you guys receive it as such. So thank you guys for hanging out and listening. That's all I got for this week. You know, I don't really know what else to say there. Be safe out there, everybody. I hope if you're listening, you're in the Houston, Texas area at this point. I hope that the hurricane damage is taken care of. Everything's back to normal. Everyone's okay. And yeah, stay safe out there, everyone. Like we always say here at Prepared Mindset, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.